Part 1. The Kitchen. Alice. Minna comes through the kitchen, flinging open the door as though expecting several dozen guests to jump out and yell, "Surprise!" "Jesus Christ," is the first thing she says. "It isn't," Sandra says. "It can't be." But it obviously is. There's no mistaking Minna, even after so many years. Sandra claims it has been exactly a decade. I think it has been a little longer than that. Minna is changed. But she is still Minna, the tangle of long hair, now lightened, the haughty curves of her cheekbones, the eyes, vivid, ocean-colored. She is just as beautiful as ever, maybe even more so. There's something hard and terrifying about her now, like a blade that has been sharpened to a deadly point. "Jesus Christ," she says again. She is standing in the open doorway, and for a moment the smell of outside reaches me. Clover, mud, and mulch. Honeysuckle that must still be growing wild all over the yard. For a brief moment, I am alive again, and kneeling in the garden. New spring sunshine, cool wind, a glistening earthworm turned out of the earth, surprised. A girl, probably 6, barrels past Minna and into the house. "Is this Grandpa's house?" she asks, and reaches out toward the kitchen table, where a coffee mug, one of the nurse's mugs, half full, which has begun to stink of sour milk, has been left. Minna grabs the girl's arm, pulls her back. "Don't touch anything, Amy," she says. "This whole place is crawling with germs." The girl, Amy, hangs back obediently, while Minna takes several tentative steps into the kitchen, keeping one hand in front of her as though she's walking in the dark. When she is within reach of the kitchen table, she makes a sudden grab for it, letting out a noise somewhere between a gasp and a laugh. "This thing," she says. "It's even uglier than I remembered. Christ, he couldn't get rid of anything." "Well, that settles that," Sandra says gleefully. "Minna's grown into a hopeless bitch. I always knew she would." "Be quiet, Sandra. In the many, many years I have been here, in this house, in the new body, my faith in the Christian conception of the afterlife has been considerably taxed. But there is no doubt about one thing. Having Sandra with me is hell." "Any girl that pretty." "I said be quiet." Poor Minna. I can't say she was my favorite, but I felt sorry for her all the same. Amy starts to come out of the doorway, but Minna puts up a hand to stop her. "Honey, stay there, okay? Just hang on a second." Then she calls out a little louder. "Trenton, you've got to come see this." I no longer have a heart, so to say my heart speeds up is inaccurate, but there is a quickening, a drawing together of whatever pieces of me remain. "For years I've longed to see Trenton. He was the most beautiful child, with feather blonde hair and eyes the electric blue of a summer sky. Even at 4 or 5 he had a slightly tragic look, as though he had come into the world expecting beauty and elegance and had suffered such tremendous initial disappointment that he had never recovered. But it's not Trenton who comes into the house, practically doubled under the weight of 2 duffel bags and lugging an additional rolling suitcase behind him. It is an absurdly tall, skinny adolescent with a sullen look and dingy dark hair, wearing a black sweatshirt and long jeans with filthy cuffs. 'What did you pack?' he mutters as he steps into the kitchen, straightens up and unslings both duffel bags, piling them on the kitchen floor. He bumps the suitcase through the doorway. 'Did you put rocks in here or something?' Sandra begins to laugh. it isn't him, it can't be, I say, unconsciously parroting her remark about Minna. It's him, she says. Look at his eyes. She's right.